Hi, this is Chris Cluey, and you're listening to Best Threesome Ever.
Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
Rough morning. here we go. Best threesome ever. Episode 57, brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan. I'm Nick.
And I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin. And by God, we are filming the morning after St. Paddy's Day.
Yay.
And like, I feel like ass, but it's not even the St. Patrick's related. It's just, I feel like ass. I barely drank yesterday.
I did my fair share of drinking, but I'm not hungover. I think it was a combination of a lot of spicy food and a lot of drinking, and I got like drunk, and then I got sober, and then I got drunk again. So it was a roller coaster of drunkenness for the day.
Woo.
Yeah, I don't think I drank enough water, but I'm not actually hungover. I just feel icky.
I had a cider and a half. I'm sorry, guys.
That's right. I did enough drinking for the three of us.
Excellent.
Attaboy.
Yeah, take one for the
proud
team.
Proud of you.
Megan Cutlass on the lair. Her husband did make some pretty interesting Jello shots, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw. Yeah, I saw the picture.
Yeah, he was telling Jameson, us about them. They were Jameson and lemon Jello with like a little bit of whipped cream on top, and then those rainbow nips or nibs or whatever.
Strips or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they're called. I just call them neon strips. But he put one of those on the top of each of them, so it was like
a rainbow pot of gold
Jello shots, and they were good.
Awesome.
I saw the picture of that.
The whipped cream was infused with booze too, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, he was telling us about those when we were filming. Oh, good times. Good times. Delicious. Hope everybody else had a fun and safe St. Paddy's Day that you may or may not remember.
So before we get into everything, I wanted to shout out to Heroic Goods and Games and Paul. I was down there yesterday. Yeah, we picked up an N64 and some other stuff I'll talk about later in Nerd Grabs, but I just wanted to shout out and say, hey, Paul, thanks for listening, and thanks for selling me stuff, and get my number from Nick when you get a copy of Kingdom Hearts back in. Thank you.
Yeah, also...
The OG?
Yeah.
For, like, PS2?
Yeah.
You want to borrow it?
No, because I want my own copy.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say also in recent sad nerd news, unfortunately, Stephen Hawking passed away.
He did. That
was sad. You know.
On Pi Day.
We have an extra, actually.
Oh, really?
We have two copies. I'll look.
Okay. Sorry. What? Stephen Hawking, sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Pi Day, yes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fighting about ableism in posts about being free from his wheelchair and all that.
Oh, yeah. I saw a couple of those. I think
that's one I'm not going to get in the middle of.
Yeah. I think I don't care whether or not he was in a wheelchair. I care the fact that he was possibly one of the greatest scientific minds of the century.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, the century's early still, but also of the last one.
Yeah. My favorite one so far has just been Neil deGrasse is holding a what?
Nothing.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Whatever.
That's fine.
Neil deGrasse Tyson High School.
It's French, whatever. is just holding a poster that had something about being intelligence is a way to adapt. Something that Stephen Hawking said something about the intelligence is a way to the sign of intelligence is the ability for the brain to adapt, and it's written in like numbers and half letters, and so it's kind of interesting, kind of fun.
Interesting.
Anyways.
Yeah. No, I guess I wasn't super up to date on what Stephen Hawking did, but
physicist.
Yeah, I know he was an astrophysicist and theoretical physicist. No, sorry, not an astrophysicist. And of course, wrote some of the biggest science books in the last 50 years.
Yeah, had to breakthroughs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. String theory, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, they do talk a lot about it in Big Bang Theory. So if anybody watches that show.
I don't know.
I do because I watch it. I haven't watched the more recent seasons, but Anyways, other sad news. Toys R Us is closing.
Yeah, they were keeping some open, and now a private company took it and was like, ha, fuck you, Kevin and Graham.
Specifically Kevin and Graham.
Specifically Kevin and
just
Graham.
Just Kevin and Graham.
It's not like they could have just rebranded it. They're completely closing them down after 50-some years.
It's a fucking travesty. It truly is.
That's more than 50 years. I thought, wasn't it like 70 years?
Oh, maybe 70, yeah. That's possible.
I thought that was 1948 when the company opened. I don't know. That's super sad, and I remember going and getting Lego sets at Toys R Us every Christmas after we get the Toys R Us gift cards from Grandma and Grandpa.
A lot of G.I. Joe figures I bought from Toys R Us.
Sure.
It's always a fun jaunt down to the Toys R Us store.
A lot of comic book character figures I bought from Toys R Us over the years.
In Burnsville, it moved around like 3 times because it was like a Children's Palace or something, and then it was a Toys R Us, and then...
I worked at that one.
Did you?
I did.
Children's Palace or the Toys R Us?
The Toys R Us in Burnsville.
Okay. The one in the strip mall or before it went in the...
It was still in the little strip mall.
In the behind Men's Warehouse and Chili's?
Yeah.
It used to be in another strip mall down the street.
I worked in the R Zone, which was the video game section. At first I was just like an aisle boy where I had to, face stuff. But I'm like, I'd like to work in the video game section. He's like, well, you have to do like an extra interview for that. They have to make sure you're qualified and knowledgeable. I'm like, I got this. So my interview was actually really interesting. So the guy is like, he's asking me all these questions. He's like, all right, so a parent comes in. They want to know whether they should get a PS2, an Xbox, or a GameCube for their kid. Yeah, this is how long ago it was. And I say, well, I mean, it depends on the age of the child. If they're a younger child, you want something a little more family-friendly, go with the GameCube. If they're more into like the Japanese-style games, RPGs, that kind of thing, definitely the PlayStation. If they're more Western, they like racing games, sports games, that kind of thing, definitely go for the Xbox. He's like, wow, that was a fucking perfect answer. I'm like, I fucking know it. And so we're talking, and then at the end of the interview, I show him my Final Fantasy tattoo. He's like, dude, you could have started with that. We could have skipped this whole fucking thing. I'm like... Probably the best interview I've ever had in my entire life.
I didn't imagine you worked in Burnsville. That's...
Well, I lived in that apartment complex right on that huge apartment complex right off of like McAndrews in Burnsville. The one that's right off of 35W. Like you can see it when you get off of 42.
Yeah,
I lived there.
Oh, I didn't know you lived so close to me at one point.
I did. That's where I lived during college, because Brown controls a good chunk of those apartments.
So when were you there?
Like 2002.
Oh, okay. So I was in... Where was I in 2002?
So 16 years ago.
I was finishing college. That's what I was doing.
I was starting college.
It's sad. My childhood is... A large chapter of my childhood is going away. Also, I went to Z-Fest a couple weeks ago. That was a film festival that Kevin and I were in, the Kit's Revenge, which was one of the films that was there. And it was very interesting. I went there with Izzy, and it was kind of what you would expect from a film festival, especially like independent film festival. There are some really good films. There are some that were hilarious. And there were some you're like,
why?
What is going on here?
Why are we here?
There was two sections, and the very first movie in the first section was about ghosting, and it was like this over dramatic. You could totally tell it was a college student film. Like, I expected it when it ended to say Finn.
Something about gay cowboys eating pudding.
It was just like,
yeah, there's a poll. You're welcome.
Wow, Jesus,
it was. It was, it ended and you're like, what the fuck was that about? There's another one, which it wasn't super great, but it was done by high school kids. I don't remember what it was called, but it was, I give the kids a lot of credit, for high school kids going into a film festival, and it was filmed like a high school kids would film a movie. And there's even a point where they're like, they get a truck and they drive away. And I turned to John, who was the director of Kit's Revenge. And I go, I hope in the credits it says stunt driver, dad.
And
I didn't say that. I wish it would have though.
Stunt driver, dad.
But some of them were, there was a lot of really, really good films, and they had, part of the film festival was, it was about time travel, so if you can somehow incorporate time travel, Back to the Future, and or Jameson into the thing, into your film, you would get, like, bonus points, so There was a lot of Back to the Future references, a lot of Back to the Future posters. For Kit's Revenge, it was the lead guy takes his, he's drinking Jameson, and he takes his glass and he sets it on top of a little mini DeLorean.
Cute.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And then, you know, Kit's Revenge was shown, and that was actually phenomenal to see. It was kind of cool to see faces, you know, Kevin and I on a big screen, and like, oh, there we are for like 2 seconds. Yay! Exactly. And it was a cut-down version. They're going to put together a longer version, and then they'll release that. So as soon as that longer version is cut, we'll certainly pimp the shit out of it, because it was really good. And there was, it was just it was a film festival. So, you know, it was exactly what you kind of would expect. And Scott, who did Kids Revenge with us, was in a really funny one about this guy who makes, it was called The Muffin Man, and he makes pot muffins. And apparently they're so good, and that they're so amazing that it attracts the Russian mob to it, or some sort of mob. They played sort of Russian mobs.
Classic.
Right. And the best part was at the end when the Muffin Man is running away, and Scott, who is this big, giant wrestler guy, from his leather coat, which is just like a regular leather coat, not a long trench coat or anything, pulls out a dart gun, like a blowgun, like a very long blowgun, right, and like shoots a dart at him, and he's like, oh, I like this thing. And then the boss is like, hey, go get him. And he's like, hey, boss, got a question. Why do I always have to do all the heavy lifting? The boss is like, because I got the motherfucking gun. He's like, okay, good answer. I'll go pick him up.
Scott fucking kills me.
Yeah. So there's, yeah, like I said, a lot of good ones. A lot of ones that are very weird. One about peanut butter addiction, which was set very much like a drug addiction one, but about peanut butter. So just take any...
I love it.
Take any sort of...
So it's about my girlfriend. Got it.
Take any sort of drug addiction story that's ever been in any film or TV show. Chop it down to 7-minute scene and replace the drugs with
heroin
peanut butter.
With peanut butter.
Correct. And they even have an intervention. It's pretty funny. So it was cool. That's all I got to say about that.
I'm curious about the plot of the movie. Was it... I mean, the main character for the peanut butter addiction.
It was two girls in a...
Was one of them a mom? Because I would imagine she was probably quite choosy.
No.
Shut up.
I just walked right into that, didn't I?
You did. Right. You did.
Sorry.
Because choosy moms choose Jip.
Yeah, we get it.
I know.
Jesus Christ. Kill this guy. Another nerd news, something I want to talk about a while ago, but I forgot about it. Apparently Jason Momoa is doing a Crow remake.
He sure is.
And it's going to be released in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about that?
That is a super ripped Crow.
Yeah, like I was... I'm at odds with myself, you know, because I grew up, you know, I was born in the early, mid-80s. I grew up, you know, a little on the gothy side. Crow was my fucking joint. Ooh, did I love Crow. And so part of me holds that to such a high standard that it's like remaking something like that. We saw what happened when they tried to make more of them. That travesty of the second one, even though Trini was awesome in it. That god-awful third one with Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
David Boreanaz.
And David Boreanaz, yeah. The fourth one that had the kid from Terminator, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Wasn't Kirsten Dunst in the first one?
No.
Who played the girl? No, it wasn't Kirsten Dunst.
It wasn't Kirsten Dunst. Yeah.
Yes. But anyway.
It was stupid to do anything after the first one because...
But I feel like Jason Momoa has a pretty good track record and is usually pretty awesome in everything he's in. I'm hoping they can pull this one out. Especially since they said that they are redoing the original story.
Cool.
And so it is Eric Draven, it is Top Dollar, and they're going to try and hold a little bit more true to the comics.
Oh, good.
So
good.
We'll see.
I like the comic version.
We'll see. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Rochelle Davis was the girl's name, and apparently it's like the only...
She was Sarah.
She was Sarah.
Mm.
I'm the girl playing adult Sarah is pretty hot.
Mm.
In Crow City of Angels. See, Crow City of Angels, while not being a very good movie, the soundtrack was on fire, though. Ooh, that was a good soundtrack.
I'll have to find it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I still have it somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome. Is it on tape?
No, cassette? CD.
Yeah,
CDs, because those were big in the 90s.
Sure. I was just thinking about it, too, because I'm a mid to late 80s baby, and my brother is very late 80s. And he went to school 1 year for Halloween dressed as the Crow. Oh, boy. Understand that this was high school, so it was after Columbine.
I'll have to see if I have any pictures floating around. I'm sure Graham does. Graham like to go dressed as the Crow?
Oh.
Oh, on more than just Halloween, too.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the best.
Oh. Makeup and everything?
Oh. Oh. Yeah.
I want these pictures.
Oh, Graham.
You have to remember, he was this teeny tiny little thing back then.
Graham, can we please have these pictures?
Yeah, Graham, cough them up, buddy.
I was going to be nice.
You post
that.
Lots of embarrassing photos of Kevin, but you never post any of
for
yourself.
For real, though.
His Backstreet Boys face.
Shut up.
The bleach tips look good on you.
They did look good on me. I went through Joey a phase where I had I had a Backstreet Boys Final Fantasy thing going on.
Like, yeah.
My tips were bleached. They were spiked up. I had kind of a little goatee thing going on. I would wear all black with button-ups, but then I wore like the double belts like Squall fucking Leonhard from Final Fantasy VIII. I looked good. Like I look back on that, like specifically one picture, I'm like, I don't regret anything. I looked awesome.
Yeah, but my brother would, my brother did the Crow a few times, and it did not do him any favors. I mean, part of it might have something to do with the fact that this was after Columbine, and my brother showed up to school in goth makeup and a trench coat, so.
Choices.
Choices.
I did Crow makeup once for a show. We were like zombies or something, and I think I did a brash, real quick Crow makeup.
We did kind of a mime slash Crow thing for a burlesque show.
Oh,
God, nice. What was it too?
That's music from the Crow.
I'll think about it.
Wally.
Wally. It was Wally.
I Am Human by the Smiths.
No,
so that seems like that would fit.
It was a cover of something. It's kind of a cool one.
Marilyn
Manson. I'll think about it. Don't worry about it.
Sit here and just randomly.
Right,
songs.
You're not gonna be helpful by listening to things.
Something by the Eurythmics. I don't know. So there's some trailers that came out recently.
I've got one that's not on your list that I want to talk about.
Sure, go ahead.
But no. I've got to find it and remember the title of it first.
Fair enough.
I think I remember the name of the movie, but I don't know. Go ahead.
Fantastic Beasts new trailer came out for
Looks
really good. I would almost say it looks a little bit better than the first.
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about Johnny Depp.
And I know. Well, and they're going weird with it. So it looks like Dumbledore and fucking Newt are like joining forces.
Yeah.
So they're making it seem like Dumbledore didn't have as big of a hand in his defeat of Grindelwald as the history books say. So it's, he's all like, oh, Newt, only you can prevent forest fires or whatever. And
yeah.
I'm confused and intrigued, and I still don't know how I feel about Jude Law as Dumbledore. I really wanted it to be the guy who played Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr.
Mark Strong?
No, it was not Mark Strong. He was the original Dumbledore's son.
That one guy.
He was the dickhead in that Adam Sandler movie, Mr. Deeds.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of his name.
He is also in Resident Evil.
Yes, he was the
doctor in the wheelchair. Yeah.
He was Ashford in that.
Yes. And I do like that guy.
Yes, and he's the original Dumbledore's son, so he even looks the part. It would have been perfect.
Isn't he really the son of the first Dumbledore?
That's what I said.
Oh.
He's the original Dumbledore's son.
Yes, I mean, in real life, though. You see the actors.
There's no fake life. I'm talking about real life.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you.
Dumbledore in the books didn't have... There was no original and new Dumbledore in the books. It's just he's the original Dumbledore, his son.
Okay. I was confused. Okay. For some other reason...
The actor who played the first Dumbledore.
Yes. Richard Harris's son.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's also King George VI in The Crown.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's very good.
He's very good. And he would have been phenomenal as young Dumbledore.
That'd be...
And he was being considered. He was up for the part. I don't know why I didn't get it.
Because Jude Law.
Because Jude Law, apparently. We have to make Dumbledore fucking sexy, I guess.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It makes no sense.
Why? And, okay, here's my other thing. If Dumbledore's supposed to be gay, why would we put Jude Law, who is literally jizzed on every British nanny in London, in the part of Dumbledore? Yeah, you're welcome.
Jesus Christ.
It's obnoxious, but I'm not wrong.
So anyway, Jude Law.
That's a thing.
As baby Gambindor.
So the trailer I want to talk about. Disney's Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Did anyone else see this?
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Somebody looks angry.
Somebody looks a little cranky about this.
I'm not cranky. I don't know where to begin with this.
Oh.
I'm not cranky. It's a movie that, looking at, just from the trailer, it seems like I've already seen this movie before.
It's because there's a movie that just came out very recently that was also about the story of how Winnie the Pooh came to be.
Goodbye, and Christopher Robin, starring Hux and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it had like, little baby Christopher Robin. Well, this one's about adult Christopher Robin. Yes.
That and... What the fuck is a Neverland movie with Johnny Depp?
I was going to say, it's...
Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was going to say
And Big Fish kind of combined, I feel. And so it's just like, I feel like I've seen it already. And I'm like,
It's Hook for the 100 Acre Wood.
It is.
Yeah.
And I want it.
I
want
too.
It so bad. I'm so excited.
I hate when people shit on Hook. I fucking love Hook.
I love Hook, too.
I love Hook, too.
Admittedly, not a great movie.
It's not, but no. I love it.
But it's fun.
It's an enjoyable, fun movie to watch. You can never, there's no disappointing moment in that movie.
Yeah, and it looks like they're doing this movie, Disney's Christopher Robin, as sort of Hook for the 100 Acre Wood. And I love it. And Jim Cummings is voicing Pooh, which is always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Brad Garrett's in this movie. I don't know who he is, but he is apparently.
Was this a Pixar film? No.
I mean,
not.
You're not wrong necessarily. I'm sure they used Pixar's digital studio for some of the work, I imagine.
Probably could have.
Mm, yeah. Also, Peter Capaldi.
Mm.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to find the actual cast here and find out what their parts are.
Well, it's got the doctor in it, man.
Yeah. Mark Gatiss is in it, too. One of the writers for Doctor Who.
Speaking of Doctor Who, so I've been watching Black Mirror, and it's the revolving door of British actors. It's always kind of amusing. It's always interesting when you see your favorite characters in interpersonal relationships with each other when they're from across universes, and
right.
It's hard for me not to see these people as these characters I love. And anyone who knows anything about me knows that two of my favorite standing characters are Doctor Doom and Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Two characters I love to cosplay as. And so one of the episodes has our brand new Doctor.
Jodie Whittaker.
With that god-awful 2015's Doctor Doom.
I don't know his name. I didn't care enough to learn it.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it has them in a relationship. So I'm watching Dr. Doom just take the doctor to Pound Town, and it's giving me feelings that I still haven't been able to process.
And
also Hux / Bill Weasley taking Peggy Carter through the ropes was also kind of a moment for Kevin. Oh my God, her tits. Jesus Christ, they're humongous. How does she stand upright?
Oh my God. Anyways, bringing us back to the new Winnie the Pooh movie and Doctor Who. Drink. Peter Capaldi as Rabbit.
Oh, fuck yes! He is perfect for Rabbit!
You're welcome.
Wow.
But also, Toby Jones. Do you remember Toby Jones? The Dream Doctor?
Oh, sure.
From Amy's Choice?
Yeah.
He'll be Owl.
Okay.
Brad Garrett is doing Eeyore.
I love it.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Chris, I was like, come on, Piglet. Piglet.
All right, but here's what's confusing. Jim Cummings is Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
And Tigger is not Jim Cummings.
Okay, really?
It's Chris O'Dowd.
Really?
Yeah, from IT Crowd.
I love it. Because I hate Tigger.
But
this could make me like Tigger.
But Jim Cummings is Tigger to me.
Is Jim Cummings?
He's the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger in the cartoons. Oh.
But why not mix it up a bit? And fucking Chris O'Dowd as Tigger, come on.
This could be fun. I won't understand a fucking word he says.
That's the best part. Shut up.
That's why you'll like it, because you won't know what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, he's perfect. I love it.
Also, there are a whole lot of accents in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Chris O'Dowd, Brad Garrett, and Peter Capaldi.
There's going to be some accents up in this bitch.
Oh, God. Can we just retitle this film Mumblevision?
Absolutely.
My God. That is a lot of voices, you guys. A lot of voices. That sure don't is. Make sense.
Well, you know.
From the trailer, it looks fun. I'm really excited to see what they do with Pooh and how they CGI him, because right now he looks there's a little bit of uncanny valley in the trailer for me. But if you like, as far as the animation goes, I really love that his quote unquote fur looks so good.
Right.
But yeah, we'll see.
Hmm.
They should get the animators from Ted to do the fur work on all of the stuffed animals. No, seriously. Like, Ted looks like a fucking stuffed animal. He does. He actually looks like a stuffed animal. Pooh isn't quite there for me.
In the trailer. I mean, they could still re-digitize and
I hope so.
Remaster stuff.
Yeah.
Which they sometimes and often will do, because trailers need to be out and they haven't finished the product yet. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe just rewrite the whole movie after the trailer's already released, but who does that?
I have no idea. I can't think of any movie like that. Suicide Squad. Rogue One.
I was going to say Rogue One. I don't know about Solo yet.
Well, we don't know about Solo yet, but probably.
I just want to release a trailer that has nothing to do with the movie at all.
The Lair.
No, that was a preview for season 2, though.
Joking, but not really. Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. Infinity War. Released a little bit longer trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe giving a little spoilers away that, you know, I think that fucking Cap and Tony are definitely going to bite it by the end of this movie.
Mm.
After you said the thing last time, Rob, about being kind of Infinity Ward out, I kind of am starting to agree with you.
Yeah. And I'm just going to, you know, about face on this, and I got real excited about the trailer. It was good. It was.
I'm interested now.
Yeah,
I kind of taken it easy on my excitement for Infinity War because I'm like I have so many other things I want to think about, mm-hmm. But this trailer has definitely piqued my interest. You know, breaking it down, it really looks like Spider-Man is going to have a huge part to mm-hmm. do in this movie.
The only gripe I have with the trailer, by the way, it's Spider-Man.
Why
so much Spider-Man?
I really think this is setting it up to be Spider-Man's universe. Like, he's taking the lead of this universe after this movie. He is in the front and center of the new poster.
I know.
Like, crystal clear front and center of this new poster.
Yeah.
He, you know, they're handing the torch over to new young blood, and Spider-Man is the voice back. Because when you think...
Yeah, the obvious choice is Spider-Man, sure. But at the same time, yeah, like, they're going to hand the torch from Iron Man and Cap to Spider-Man, for sure. Which would be fine if we haven't already had 18 years of Spider-Man movies. You know, I just...
But how... And I think the reason why he... Like, I think the main helms of the new Marvel-verse is going to be Spider-Man. I think Black Panther is going to be...
That's
like, and that's the thing is that, you know, how Tony Stark was the face of the MCU, mm-hmm. with Captain America being like the number two,
yeah, the number two guy,
the
for
most
sure.
important number two most important person.
Mm-hmm.
That's now going to Spider-Man as the new Tony, and Black Panther is
the new
Captain America.
Hmm.
But Spider-Man never in the comics led the Avengers, did he?
He has always been sort of a in and out freelance sort of guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's necessarily going to lead the Avengers. In the new Spider-Man cartoon that was on for a while, he sort of led like a little mini Avengers with Star-Lord, White Tiger, Luke Cage.
White Tiger.
Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Hmm.
I think what we're going to see in this coming phase of Marvel films is that with the introduction of X-Men, we're going to see a lot less team-ups or less, you know, team films like Avengers. I think we're going to see a lot more standalone films, but we're also, I think we're going to see a lot more cohesiveness within the universe where people just, you know, they pop into someone else's movie and just like, oh, hey, I'm here for 5 minutes. Sort of like a comic cameo, like they do.
Here's my gripe, and this is one of the reasons why Civil War keeps dropping on my favorites list.
Okay.
Is because the Sokovia Accords, after that, besides that movie, don't seem to fucking matter.
Nope.
Like, and it's blatantly apparent with A, Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
and B, these Marvel shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jessica Jones, Luke mm-hmm. Cage. I sincerely doubt Jessica signed the fucking Accords.
Oh, yeah.
Yet S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't seem to be coming after her, or anyone else for that matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When by this point, they should be.
Is S.H.I.E.L.D. really still
it's frustrating.
Is S.H.I.E.L.D. really still a thing anymore?
Well, I don't know. I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., are they?
Well, I just was thinking I guess in this universe they haven't... Well, they did say that they were pretty much Hydra, so...
Yeah, so like, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't
exist,
but
they also acknowledge that S.H.I.E.L.D. evolved into something else after the whole Hydra mess, so... Yeah. I don't know. And that's the thing, is that there are things that should be explained that haven't been, like... Okay, who is handling what fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. does now? Because, I mean, obviously somebody does, since General Ross is kind of in charge of it.
Yeah.
Because they at least, in Jessica Jones, mentioned the raft, which I thought was cool.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because that's where they keep, you know, we'll get to Jessica Jones, because that's where they keep threatening to send a specific character, but...
Right.
Oh, cool.
Huh.
But yeah, it's the fact that... The Sokovia Accords are so important, but just for that one episode. 20 minutes.
To me, it's like the Prime Directive in Star Trek. They break the Prime Directive all the fucking time.
But that's the thing, is at least the Prime Directive was this standout looming thing throughout all of Star Trek, whereas Sokovia Accords is like, oh, this is a really big deal, but nah, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah.
Captain, get over here, you big lug.
Get that man a shield.
Well, but sorry, but I don't think they're acting as an independent group, though.
I know, but basically my hope for Infinity War is that they acknowledge that this thing was, I don't know, possibly a bad idea, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck your Sokovia Accords. New shield. What up? That kind of thing.
Right.
And just give me something.
And
give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Boom.
All right. Sting. All right, Sting. That was his theme music for walking in.
Oh.
Oh. I thought he meant the... I'm like, singer?
The singer? No, no, no. The wrestler.
Give me fuel,
wrestler.
Give me fire.
Although, funny side note, there is at Sting's birthday many years ago, he had Robert Downey Jr. come on stage and sing with him.
Wow. Oh, I've seen that clip.
And it's fucking amazing.
Robert Downey Jr. is a... really good singer, actually.
He's a phenomenal singer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I wanted to kind of change what I meant by, like, not change, but specify what I meant about being Infinity War. Now, when I saw the trailer, I got very excited. I'm like, this movie looks fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And what I meant by that was, it seems like every time I open, like, a Facebook feed or...
Like
everybody's talking and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just
settle. Settle, you guys.
The hype is fucking real. I mean, this has been a build-up.
Not only hype, but like all the I'm sick of reading about the speculations about this and that and the other thing, and I'm
sick of the thing that we're doing right now. That keeps our podcast going. I hate it.
Yeah, well.
The lifeblood of our very show is killing me.
I can be hypocritical sometimes.
You, Logan?
But. Not but your butt, but it's very clear in the trailer that it looks like Thanos ends up in Wakanda or somewhere on the planet Earth. But I'm going to assume Wakanda because he's fighting Captain America.
It looks like Wakanda.
So that'll be interesting, considering he's hitting the mech part of the technical.
Well, and that just leads us.
Yeah, I made up a word. Mechnical.
You're welcome. Obviously, where the final Infinity Stone is.
Yeah.
By the way, does anyone else have any other theory than that the final Infinity Stone is what made Vibranium and what made Wakanda?
Probably. I would guess, because
that's where it is. That's where it's hiding. That's got to be it.
What color is the final one?
I think it's purple? Supposed to be orange in the comics, actually. But
I think it's because... Fuck, I don't remember now.
Well, I was just trying to think because they. I was just the only reason I was bringing that up is because in Black Panther when they had the glowing purple. Flower purplish type thing,
yeah.
And they made it very apparent that when they were telling the backstory that there was a very apparent purple color.
Yeah,
And I weren't sure. If, I wasn't sure if that was just like a panther thing, like you know, panthers are kind of black purplish.
Yeah,
like or if that was yeah, or if that was these flowers are being powered by the Infinity Stone, which makes them. You know, or the Vibranium, Infinity Stone, Adamantium, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Soul Stone is the one that's left.
Okay, yep.
And that's because we had the
orange, isn't it?
I don't think so. Because the Tesseract was the blue one. That was the Space Stone. We had the Aether, which was the Reality Stone. That's the red one.
Yep.
The Orb was the Power Stone. I think that was the orange one.
Okay.
Is that the one that's in...
Because Loki's Vision's scepter was head? The... No, that's the yellow one. That's the Mind Stone.
Okay.
That was the one that was in Loki's scepter. And then the Time Stone is the green one.
Okay.
Hmm.
Wait, what was the... The purple one, though, was in the... Was in... What's-his-nuts's thing. And it, now it lives in Novacar. Oh, yeah,
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. Yeah,
you're right. Okay, so it couldn't be... It can't be purple.
Can't be purple. Yeah, that one's purple.
Yep, it's with the...
No, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So
that whole movie with the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, you know?
Yeah.
So Soul Stone, the orange one, is the one that's left.
Okay. So yeah, it's clearly got to be in Wakanda.
But I'm guessing.
I'm curious how they got it, or if it just appeared there.
I think the beginning of Black Panther tells you it was in the asteroid. That's why
Vibranium... It had to have been in the asteroid.
Yeah. Vibranium doesn't do what they say Vibranium does, but Vibranium infused with, like, say, a reality-altering cosmic gem...
The Soul Stone would definitely give Wakandans that cool vision quest.
All of that all of that power that they get from everything, it's Infinity Stone infused vibranium. That's it. That's got to be the answer.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the only reason they called it vibranium is because of X-Men and they didn't have the rights to call it adamantium.
No. The vibranium was in the comics.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
That is a real thing.
It's separate from adamantium.
Adamantium, yes. they had to basically use vibranium for all of it instead of having the two different metals.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just trying to think that if that was true, then would Wolverine have some part of the Soul Stone in him if we were to expand out that far?
No, he'll be adamantium when he comes in.
Adamantium was a rare metal.
Okay.
But it wasn't the same as
Vibranium, yeah. But they're both fake metals in the Marvel
universe. That are both very powerful.
But adamantium was from Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They're both part of the scapegoatium family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With also the unobtainium part of the scapegoatium.
Mm, sorry. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Unobtainium.
Doctor.
Stupidest fucking.
It's on the MacGuffin period. Yeah. Periodic table.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Where did you get this called unobtainium? What? Shut up.
Two different movies.
Yep.
The Core. Okay, Hilary Swank and DJ Qualls, whatever you say.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're welcome.
A lot of polls today.
Jesus.
Any other trailers?
Trailers. No, I think that's all of them. I feel like there's one other thing this week that I...
There is, Jessica Jones, but...
I was just thinking
trailer-wise.
Yeah, but there's still one more thing, and I'm trying to think of what it is.
I don't know. If there was, I'm sorry to put it on my list.
I'll think of it. I'll think of it, you guys. I'll think of it.
Really?
You don't say.
It's been a long week for me.
Fair enough. So, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I've been binge watching it. I have a few episodes left, so I haven't finished the series yet.
I made it to episode 4 last night.
Okay. Kevin's obviously watched it all.
I have finished it, and I'm annoyed that you guys didn't.
I tried. I did really try.
Because I forced Crystal. I'm like, I gotta finish this by Sunday so we can talk about it. Sorry, Crystal. You want to watch Coco?
Would you have more than one TV in your house? One can watch Coco, one can watch.
Yeah, but it's.
Yeah, but we can't.
We do can't. Things together.
Yeah, we. Yeah. Like, I hadn't. Neither of us had seen Coco yet, so we needed to watch it together.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And we were obviously watching Jessica Jones together, so
yeah.
Gotcha. So unless we wanted to play both TVs, have both going at the same time, and then throw ourselves off of a cliff, sure.
That could have been fun. It's about spending quality time together.
Quality time.
Yeah.
Krypton premieres tonight.
Oh yeah.
They're showing the Christopher Reeves marathon.
Yeah, they sure are.
For some reason, yeah, they're even playing 3 and 4.
Yeah.
You've got cable, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So just give me a call when Superman 4 comes back on so I can come over and just throw bricks at your TV.
Then I will not call you back over.
I mean,
I'll actually be at work. But
they're brick pillows?
Uh-huh. Sure. We actually had a foam brick at my house.
Yeah.
Growing up. It was given as a gag gift. I don't know.
Anyways. No, those are clever. I like the idea of that.
So Jessica Jones.
Sure.
I'm really digging it. It's a little bit slower paced than the first season.
It is.
But I am digging the modern noir feeling they're trying to go with it, with the detective.
I love it because I love those.
The music,
of
I do too. The music, the way she talks, just the whole thing. I'm really digging that aspect. Something I noticed is they show Kristen Ritter's butt a lot. Like there's always this low angle with her butt and somebody else, or just her butt, or they show her butt a lot. And then in a later episode, she's wearing a pair of sweatpants that says "Good View" across her butt. And I'm not sure if they're making the reference to how she likes anal sex in the comics, or if it's just a thing.
Or maybe she's just really proud of her butt.
Yeah,
maybe. And all of the directors wanted to...
Like a Tommy Wiseau, you got to show my butt a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe all the directors were like, yeah, let's show her butt as much as possible.
I'm not complaining about her butt. It is a phenomenal butt.
What was interesting about the season is every single episode had a female director.
Yep. Awesome. I did not know that.
And I believe writer.
At least one writer, I think,
was female. Yeah.
And they don't. And this season, they don't seem to be focusing on her powers and her abilities as much.
Good.
Well, sort of.
But. I mean, you get the full origin story.
Yep.
And this, but what's interesting about this season is there's no real antagonist.
Correct.
People kind of shift back and forth from being the antagonist, whether it's and I don't want to spoil anything if the character hasn't been revealed to you yet. But the kind of fucked up looking,
oh sure,
Hunter.
Yeah,
she goes in and out from being the antagonist.
Oh, okay.
To Trish, goes back and forth between being the antagonist
because she develops a drug problem. Of course,
yeah, she does because she starts taking Nuke's inhaler and becomes obsessed with it. Which I was really hoping that Nuke was going to be a big part of the season, and then nope.
Episode 2 dead. Him. Fuck, man.
Wasn't she on something in the first season? I can't remember. I haven't watched the first season. Trish. I'm talking about Trish.
No.
No. Malcolm was.
Malcolm was
a drug addict. She was on being in an abusive relationship.
Right.
With that guy. But no, so she... But, I mean, her history of being an addict...
Right.
She definitely relapses pretty hard on it.
Yeah.
And it makes her want to become a superhero. So we're basically... This show is very much the origin story for Hellcat.
Right. Yay! Please let that happen. I like Hellcat.
Tail end. It's not really shown, but she accidentally slips and drops her cell phone, but she catches it with her foot and then flicks it up into her hand. And she's like, what the fuck just happened? So yes, Hellcat is now canon.
Yay!
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Okay. Sort of. I mean, I don't know how much more they're going to go into it, if that was just a fluke thing, but yeah, the big stories of this season are...
Yeah, it sounds like the
Jessica wrestling with demons of her past.
Right.
Mixed with the demons of her family, mixed with Trish's interpersonal demons with Jessica and wanting to become a superhero.
Yeah. Right. Is Hellcat good guy or bad guy?
Hellcat?
Hellcat.
Hellcat's she's kind of a Catwoman-esque character.
Yeah. So kind of sometimes the anti-hero.
She's a hero, anti-hero, yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Malcolm.
The Red Ranger.
Ugh. Yes, let's talk about the Red Ranger. He's my favorite.
He's kind of fun in this.
I'm only on episode 4, Malcolm, every time he's on screen, I love it.
He just gets better and better. He has probably the most graphic sex scene of the season.
Yep.
Hooray!
Sure does.
I don't know why I can never remember her actual character's name. I just keep calling her Trinity. Trinity has a
some pretty like
she has
what
a,
do you say here?
Carrie Ann
lesbian
Moss.
Lesbian prostitute orgy, we'll call it.
Yes, yes.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah. Well, I know Carrie Ann Moss, but I'm trying to remember her character name.
Oh, Jerry Hogarth?
Yes.
Hogarth.
You're welcome. Yeah. So, Trinity. Yeah, so...
Fuck you.
So, her whole thing with the nurse from IGH...
Sure.
...is a pretty glaring subplot, which wraps up pretty nicely.
It does.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far. I know about it, but
I've gotten to that part.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah... I love that she falls off the deep end in the first few episodes. Just that whole cocaine fueled sex orgy is just ugh.
That was a
so. I enjoyed coke back in the day and have been clean for almost 10 years now. And that scene came up and I got half of an erection from it.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. It was just like it was all of the good things that cocaine has going for it in one scene, just like beautiful women drinking and cocaine, like none of the downsides that cocaine often brings you. And it's just it hit a soft spot for me.
Always.
What?
Always brings you.
Always brings me. Sorry. But yeah, it was.
Cocaine is bad.
Yes, cocaine is bad, you guys. It's terrible for you, but...
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Oh.
Stop it.
What? I'm sorry.
Good.
I had a friend growing up who moved away at one point. His mom died, and he moved away and became the biggest drug dealer in his high school. Oddly enough, didn't do a lot of drugs other than smoked weed, but sold a lot of drugs. And he was trying to tell me... I think he was trying to explain to me what ecstasy felt like the first time you take it. And he goes... You know that time, you know when you get into bed and it's a cold night and you get into bed and you just get to that warm and you get those kind of like, your body just kind of goes, ooh, that's great. Like that cozy feeling. I go, yeah. He goes, it's kind of like that, but it lasts for about 2 hours. I'm like, oh, sounds wonderful. I think. Maybe not. I don't know.
Hmm.
Not that I ever tried it, but it was a very interesting, I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with him. And he was like, that was pretty accurate. So.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. So anyways, sorry. The conversation reminded me of that fun story. We can move on now. So Jessica Jones.
I mean, Jessica Jones isn't not about cocaine.
Yeah. She's kind of a raging alcoholic, so.
But yeah, it wraps up pretty good. And they're.
So just to come back to Malcolm one more time. Is it me or did he get prettier?
He did get prettier.
He got super pretty. Like,
kids have been working out since Power Rangers, that's for sure.
And hair and just
see. This is what happens when you get off drugs. You become prettier.
The hair goes away, though. I have
that
to tell you.
Didn't, yeah.
There's your spoiler.
Yeah.
The hair goes away.
What?
He shaves it.
No.
Well, he does like this undercover thing. He's goes like all business professional.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the Trinity subplot.
Okay, fine.
Trinity subplot.
Sounds like a God thing.
So, like a Trinity, like Matrix subplot? Anything else about Jessica Jones?
I say if you've got Netflix, you should be watching this right now.
Absolutely. I mean, surprisingly few crossovers.
Yeah.
And
they mentioned, again, for the first time in one of these Marvel series, have mentioned Captain America by name, mentioned another MCU character by name, instead of just referring to him as the green person that fell out of the sky or whatever.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of, it's sort of approached in that way that, like, oh, Captain America's not real, he's just a character.
But the kid asks her directly, do you know Captain America?
Right.
Do you know Captain?
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
No, the kid, do you know Captain America? Oh.
Yeah. I have his action figure, I just can't find his shield, but I made this shield and I put a magnet on it so it would stick to his arm, and I'm like, this is glorious. It's fucking... Every kid's dream to meet a superhero and then be like, I have a superhero and I want to meet the other one.
Yeah. This is super neat, actually.
This has been the hungover episode.
Yeah, not a lot of crossover with the other ones.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a bit of foggy.
Yeah.
He steps in for a moment.
There is an old a character returns from season one.
I've heard. I've heard. Is it in a dream sequence or real?
Not really. She's having a tough time coping with something, and he ends up becoming her coping mechanism.
Okay, so
not a terribly positive one.
So he's there, but not really. He's still a hallucination.
Yeah,
presumably. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Apparently, I have not gotten to that episode yet, or have I?
It's like episode 8, I think.
Is it
like 10.
Is it the episode after Trinity goes and meets with the guy in the jail? The healing guy?
Oh, yeah. It's after the whole healing thing.
Okay,
it's,
I'm right at the end of that episode.
It's after...
Oh, okay.
It's after the quasi-antagonist goes to prison.
So it'll probably be the next... Okay. Probably be the next couple episodes for me.
But yes, fuck it. I'm not dancing around it anymore. I knew reading the cast list. David Tennant comes back as Kilgrave, and he's going to be basically one of Jessica's hallucinations.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Neat. I love it.
Sounds like fun.
Because I also want...
She accidentally kills somebody in complete self-defense.
Oh, cool.
But in his defense, she was in his home. But in her defense, he was a fucking asshole.
Sure.
But she accidentally kills him, and she's...
And Kilgrave comes back to just basically torture her.
Yeah, and he's like, ha-ha, I told you you're a murderer, bitch.
Right, right.
Dirty whore.
I love it. And David Tennant on TV is always something I want.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. And he's... His whole episode is just a delight.
So. Yeah.
Something else I recognize too is Malcolm is this wonderful person who has been fixing up Jessica's apartment and repaints it and redoes it all, except for that window around the couch, above the couch. Like, for some odd reason, hasn't painted that part yet, although it looks completely finished.
You'll find out in the last episode.
Why he hasn't painted that window?
Yes.
Really?
Seems like a very odd...
Like the one going to the kitchen?
It's next to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like it overlooks where the couch is, and then behind that is the... Yeah. We'll find out why he hasn't painted that yet?
Well,
okay. All right. I'll watch it. All right. Okay. I believe you.
I believe I can plan.
Anyways, sorry. Nerd grabs. Anything?
Okay, so yeah. Like I said at the beginning, I went to Heroic Goods and Games yesterday.
Yay!
So
they're in a big sale.
Yeah, so here's the whole story. Bernadette and I have been talking about trying to get more into video games and doing video games together and whatnot. Her favorite system of all time is an N64. So she ordered one online, and we were going through some of our stuff that we haven't melded together yet. Because I was like, oh, I'm sure I've got a couple N64 controllers around somewhere. Well, I couldn't find any of the controllers. I did find, however, the my N64.
Classic.
No AV cable, but the power pack and the expansion pack were in there, so I will be dropping off.
See, whereas I have an N64, I don't have the power pack, but I do have the AV cable.
We'll talk off air.
Fair enough.
Do you want my completed N64 that has all of that? That's in a box plus games plus controllers?
Yeah, do you want three Nintendo 64s?
I do want that, actually.
What? Yes. Hold on, though. What games? Because I might try and outbid you.
I have a quarter.
GoldenEye.
You can have GoldenEye.
Okay.
Dark. What was that other one?
Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark.
Oh, Perfect.
Dibs!
I own Perfect Dark.
All right, cool.
There's a couple more. I forget.
Do you have Shadows of the Empire, the greatest Star Wars game ever made?
You might be willing. You could probably take that because I can pick up a pretty reasonable copy.
Rogue Squadron.
Dibs. Oh,
such a good game.
Yeah.
I don't have Shadows of the Empire. I don't think I've had Shadows of the Empire.
I think we need to look through this box of N64 stuff after we're done recording.
If we have time.
Oh, we'll make time.
Will you?
Well, it's my mom's 65th birthday today.
I have to go to work.
Appetizers. All right, so
you went to Heroic Goods and Games.
Heroic Goods and Games. Drink. Because we wanted to pick up some more N64 games with the one that she ordered already, because she ordered a cart pack. Okay. So it's got Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers and I think a couple others in it that are coming with it. It's a little like $200, so...
Sure.
Yeah. Plus two controllers, AV cable, HDMI adapter, da 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 da. Anyways, so we were going through my stuff as well, and I found my PS2 with controllers and cords and everything all there. Everything was there, and I didn't even realize. And I was like, oh, I'll set that up and see if it still works. Works. Turns on just fine. No games. no idea where any of my games are. I'm just like, okay. Well, so we stopped off at Heroic, and I picked up Kingdom Hearts 2, and I picked up Final Fantasy X,
nice.
And Harvest Moon, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I still have a bunch of PS2 games.
I sold
like
all my...
Like the two the Baldur's Gate Champions of Morath games.
Oh, neat.
Two of the best ISO hack and slash games you could possibly play.
Mm-hmm. They're good. Mm-hmm. I like them.
I think I have Final Fantasy X, too.
I don't care about that one.
Oh, I love that one.
Really?
Yeah, Charlie's Angels. You get to play dress up and shit. I love it. Oh, I am all about that life. 100%. 150%. Love it. Dress spheres, man.
So anyway, so you picked up some games and...
Yeah, picked up some games. She picked up a couple of N64 games. Maybe just one. No, she got two. What was the other one she got? Oh, okay. So she picked up Namco Museum.
Nice.
With a, you know.
Sure. Says, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a six-pack of classic arcade games. But she also picked up, and she was like, should I get this? I don't know. This might not be my jam. And I was literally foaming at the mouth to try and convince her that she needs to get this game, Star Fox 64.
Oh, fuck yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
fuck yes.
That's what I'm saying.
How just like no to Star Fox?
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly right. But that's the thing. She was like, I don't know about this. This doesn't sound like my bitch. I don't care.
That's Star Fox.
If you don't play it, I will. All the time.
Oh,
the best rail shooter so ever good. Made.
So good.
Mm. Best ever made. Hands down. But, so yeah. That, I believe, is my nerd grab for the week. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't have any. Sorry.
Well, mine is also video game related.
Hooray.
Hooray. So one of my favorite game series of all time growing up was a little game called Wing Commander.
Yes, that was a great game.
So you picked up Mark Hamill.
No.
Damn.
So
if wishing made it so.
So the third one was such a heartbreak because the third one is where they incorporated those live action graphics into the game where the main character was played by Mark Hamill. You find out Hobbs, the character that you loved through two games. He was the Kilrathi, the giant cat alien people.
Right.
Defector, and he became your wingman. You find out that he was a fucking double agent the whole time. That crushed me as a child. But the biggest heartbreak of that game is the fact that so many copies were glitched and that you could not complete the final mission. It just kept looping, or the nav point would not exist, so you couldn't actually leave the system to complete the mission.
Oh.
And that was gut-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And so I never played the fourth one, but there is a Kickstarter but there's a game called Star Citizen coming out, and it's kind of an MMO, but it also has a single-player campaign mode in which you play a pilot during this, you know, Space Navy. Your commander is played by Mark Hamill.
Yay!
Also Gillian Anderson and Gary Oldman.
Awesome.
And it is crowdfunded, so you can basically purchase items for it. So you have to purchase, like, by pledging, they give you, like, the game and that kind of thing, and by... you can also pledge by quote unquote buying ships, and they're outlandishly expensive, but that's how they're getting pledges. It's like, okay, you pledge $150, we'll give you this great multi-person space cruiser kind of a thing, which I think Ian did because he's a psychopath. But it's basically going to be the friendship smuggler.
Of course it is.
Because naming ships is coming out soon, so we're going to name it the friendship smuggler and create our own fleet, the Fist.
Awesome.
And so we can actually all, and like on the ship, you can do individual duties. Like somebody's in charge of, like, you're like engineering, so you can reroute shields to gunfire, stuff like that. Somebody can navigate,
Can
pilot, somebody can, do turrets and stuff. So it's
awesome.
You actually have different roles you can do on these ships. But then there's also single person fighters. I have this cute little Mustang.
It's a CPU game or a...
Yeah, and so I also am picking up a joystick and throttle for it because keyboard and mouse when doing a flight simulator game feels fucking wrong.
Right?
Yeah, by the way, Ian showed me that very long video about the game that he's playing, that VR
the
game.
Elite Dangerous? I was gonna show you that. It is the funniest fucking game review of all time.
It's funny, it's just very long.
It is very long, but I thought it was worth every second.
Yeah, it was. Anyways, continue, I'm sorry.
But yeah, so I'm excited to play it. My... My PC isn't quite up to the task. I'm just, it said that it runs fine with 8 gigabytes of RAM. It's a fucking liar. So I'm going to pick up about 8 gig more, and it should run just, it should run A-okay, because I know graphically my computer can handle it. I need the RAM to catch up, so.
Sure.
So yeah, Star Citizen, they even call it the spiritual successor to Wing Commander.
It's called Star Citizen?
Star Citizen.
Okay.
You can get the basic game by pledging $45.
Okay.
And then you can also just get the single player mission for $45. But if you bundle it, they knock $20 off.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nice. So $65, you get the. Nice. It's still an alpha, but it's a well developed alpha.
Okay.
Huh. Nice. Sounds like a fun game. Sounds like a pretty sweet game. I wish I played more computer.
And Gary games. Oldman and Gillian Anderson mm-hmm. are and Gillian attached Anderson as well.
Is like the. Kind of sort of a main character in it.
Oh.
Gary Oldman's done a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
A lot of Call of Duties and
still I'm still a sucker for the Elusive Man. Oh. But I have a hard on for Martin Sheen, so I'm sorry.
Nothing wrong with that. We understand. You like older men, we get it.
No, I just like men who seem presidential.
Gary Oldman tried to kill a president once in a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose he's kind of sort of presidential in that he's sort of prime ministerial lately, but...
it's true. He's prime minister. He has that whole prime minister thing, which is like England's president.
Yeah.
Sort of, except for the queen.
He's sort of an English president, yeah.
Yeah. I think the queen outranks prime minister, doesn't it?
In formal title only.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know how it works over there.
Yeah, only informal title, honestly. That's it. Yeah. But, so I think is that everybody?
I believe so, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, straight episode. It's been the hangover episode of Best Threesome Ever. Brought to you by Drunkenness from the night before. Or just drinking. Well, nobody ever drank a lot except for me, but that's fine.
No, didn't, sorry.
I still feel like poo. Anyways. All right, well, this has been Best Threesome Ever. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
And brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan. We will see you next time.
Fuck yeah.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.